And I tell everyone, inspiration is the reason why you get out of bed. And without that inspiration, that getting out of bed is even harder. So you have to find out what that inspiration is, whether it's my kids, my spouse, my job, my honoring my loved one, writing a book, whatever it may be.
Isn't it true that oftentimes our purpose in life is birthed out of tragedy and trauma? Hope Rieger is a woman who knows the pain of losing a child. Her 19-year-old son was murdered. Hope believes that her purpose in life has been given to her through her son Justin's awful death. Welcome to the Significant Women Podcast. I'm your host, Carol McLeod. Significant Women is a podcast where I invite women to gather with their personal stories, their pain, their wins, their losses, days of celebration, days in the valley of life. And we share what God has taught us. We share the significant work that He has done in each one of our lives. I've learned as I've watched women over the decades of my life that when Jesus is involved in the details, every woman's life can be significant indeed. So let me tell you about Hope Rieger, my guest today. She lives in Xenia, Ohio with her husband, and she has two sons, Brian, who's 32, and Justin, who will be forever 19. Hope's newly discovered purpose is to provide positivity, inspiration, and hope to others through her Grief to Hope program that she created in honor of her son, Justin. Grief to Hope is a virtual peer support group that allows grievers a safe place to process their pain, to be authentic, and then to be filled with the hope that only the Lord can give. One of Hope's quotes she likes to end each session with is this: grief changes your entire world. It can also inspire you to change the world. Well, my guest today is a new friend, Hope Rieger. You know, Hope, so often the people I interview, I've known them for 5 years or 10 years or 47 years. But you and I, this will be like my listeners just watching a friendship blossom, because this is our first time meeting. So I know nothing about you. So you've got to tell me, coffee or tea?
Oh, neither. Sorry.
Oh, really? What do you drink for fun? Water?
That's not for fun. Water's not for fun. In the morning, I am a Diet Coke. I know it sounds horrible, and people are like, no, soda. But yeah, I've fought with myself to get Diet Coke water. Diet Coke water. Diet Coke water. But yes. I'm a Diet Coke.
It sounds like Diet Coke often wins.
Yes, I'm not a coffee or tea person, unfortunately.
Oh, that's crazy. Well, you're saving yourself a lot of money by never having that habit, I think, because I spend a lot of money on coffee, but that's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, just so we can get to know you more, Hope. So, like, tell me where you live. What do you do? What do you do for fun? Do you crochet? Do you skydive? Like, what do you do for fun?
Close on the skydive. No, I'm kidding. I'm in Ohio. I live with my husband, Mike. We have just recently married 3 years ago, almost 4 years ago. We married in Hawaii, which was amazing. That was my dream. I have two sons. Brian's 32 and Justin's forever 19. We'll talk more about that. And then I have three beautiful granddaughters. They're 10, 7, and 4 months. So just a little baby granddaughter, just brand new. For fun, I think what makes me smile is my grandkids. Like, we can do whatever it is. And we played, my 10-year-old granddaughter and I played Clue for the very first time just a couple days ago. So I'm big board games, family time, just family time all in general, just is what makes me happy. Going to the gym does not, but I go.
Oh, well, thank you for being vulnerable and telling us that confession. Oh, yeah. Grandchildren are the best, Hope. I have 9 and I could just eat them up every single day. Yeah. They're so good.
That's beautiful. 9.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so that really leads us into your story, because the gift of children, just the indescribable gift when we're allowed by our Heavenly Father to raise a child. But that also in your life has involved great pain. You reference the fact that you have a son who's 32 and then a son who is forever 19. So tell us what happened.
Sure. So in November of 2016, I received a knock at the door. Like, it's just like the movies or TV. Like, you know, you go to the door. And I lived in a condo at the time, and I looked down in the condo, and I saw 2 gentlemen standing outside my door, 2 policemen. And so it's 6:30 in the morning, and the first thing I think of is I have 2 boys, and I'm thinking, what have they done? Right. Like, you know, they're stuck somewhere. They, you know, cell phones, we don't have mom's number memorized. So maybe I need to figure out what they've done. So I walked downstairs and I opened the door, and they politely asked me my name and if I was Justin's mother. And I said, yes. And then I knew, I was like, yeah, the young one, we know, but, you know, who knows what he's done. Right. And I sort of joked about it, and I was like, oh, what has he done kind of thing. And, they handed me a piece of paper. It was like a post-it note, and said, we need you to call this number. They've been trying to reach you. And I said, well, do you know what it's about? And they said, no, we're not quite sure. So then I really thought, it's nothing serious. They would have told me, right? So I was like, okay, and I said, thank you, and I shut the door, and I walked upstairs to my bedroom, and my husband asked me what that was all about, and I said, I don't know, I just got to call this number. They didn't really have any information. And so he just felt just as much as I did. Not, you know, it was not going to be any big deal. They would have told me if it was something horrible. And so when I dialed the number, the person on the other line answered Greene County Coroner. And I said, yes. And I said, I think I have the wrong number. And he said, is this Hope? Because this is very early in the morning. And I said, yes. And he said, I am so sorry to tell you this over the phone, but your son Justin passed away. And I said, do you have the right Hope and Justin? I know that's an odd combination, but I didn't even know how to like consume that. And I said, what do you mean passed away? And he said that Justin and he had lived with a roommate. He was 19. He lived in our hometown at the time. I had moved to a separate town because of my job. We were only about 1.5-2 hours away from each other. But Justin was back and forth. When he needed food and money and mom, he would come stay with me. But when he wanted his own life and spread his wings, he would live with his friends. And one of him and his roommates got into an altercation, as people do, fighting verbally, arguing back and forth. To this day, I don't even know what it was about. And then it turned physical, where they were punching, you know, hitting each other, shoving, those kind of things. And what had led to Justin was punching this gentleman, and he felt what he told the police, his life was in danger. And he pulled a gun out on Justin, put it to his chest, shot, and he killed him. Now, Justin didn't have any weapons on him whatsoever. And this to this day is just, I don't know how the world works and why God didn't intervene at that very moment. But when he told me this, the coroner's, I'm still in like a state of shock, as you can imagine, overwhelmed, just out of control. I sort of tell people like the first few days and weeks and months are sort of like a candle wax melting. It's just like an all kind of a blur. And I had never dealt with any type of grief you know, my grandmother had passed away. It was more of end of life kind of thing. I never had any kind of just tragedies. I've never had any tragedies in my life. And this 5 seconds of talking to him on the phone changed who I was forever, as you can imagine. Changed me as a mother, as a person, as a woman. And so just over that time of, you know, the funeral and the, you know, just trying to deal with it all and try to consume it. And, you know, over time, I started to see a counselor over a couple months. And within that counseling time, she had suggested some grief groups, some journaling. That was also a thing to sort of write my story to Justin, and some many other things that helped me along the way. But one of the other things that happened was I was in counseling. I went back to work. You know, I never went back to the old Hope. I tell people I was version 2.0, still building that 2.0. But after a few months, the man was arrested for murder, was completely upfront, told him exactly what happened. He bonded out, but after a few months, it went to grand jury. And the grand jury allowed him to plead a self-defense plea, even though Justin had no weapons, he had nothing but, you know, his body, no guns or knives or anything. And so he was never indicted for the murder. And I remember thinking to myself, I have not only lost my son, but I have lost justice for my son. And I have this gentleman, this man playing God, what I believe, taking his life. And I was mad. I was so angry, Carol. I don't think I've ever had that burning inside me, inside my soul, more than at that time, leaving that prosecutor's office, knowing that nobody was going to pay for Justin's death. I was mad as anything against God. I was mad that he took Justin. I was mad at my life, my family, I felt like I was being punished for every wrongdoing in my life, which wasn't that much, but you start thinking of all the bad things you do. Oh, I did cheat on that test in science in high school, or I did, those kind of things. I was a young mother and I was so angry at everyone and everything. And I remember my counselor saying, Hope, you need to go to this Christian support group. I said, well, first of all, I'm not very happy with God right now. I don't know if I want to go to a Christian support group. Two, I never grew up in the church, so I was very uneducated about God, religion, and Bible. I've been to church a handful of times in my childhood. In my teenage years, in my adulthood, I even tried Bible study. And so I just didn't have I'm very uneducated when it comes to God. And I'm learning. And I'll tell you a funny story when we get there. But I'm learning. So I remember going into this church, and this beautiful lady comes out and asks me my name, and I tell her my name. And she says, go ahead. She takes me down this long hall and there's these kids pictures everywhere and I'm angry. So I have this chip on my shoulder and she's trying to be pleasant. And I'm like, if you're not going to help me, I'm walking out. You better answer my questions because God's really, I'm not happy with God right now. And so once we get in there, we discover that I'm the only person in the support group. So then she was like, you're the only one that's here. And so then I'm like, oh, she's going to find out I'm not educated about God. She's going to find out that I don't know what I'm doing here and that I'm mad. And, I thought I could just quietly sit in a group. And she said, let's just talk. And I said, okay. And so then I just let loose. And I started crying and I was angry and mad. And I'm sure she was blown away by my actions. But I told her, I said, I don't even know if I'm grieving right. Like, I should be laying in bed all the time, 24/7, crying, but I'm not. I feel like I have to like do something. And I'm angry at God and I don't know what to do with myself. And she said, God would expect you to be angry. God would understand that you're angry. And I was blown away by that. And I was like, what? He's okay with me being mad. And so then I was like, okay, maybe he's not so bad after all. Maybe I just need to get to know him. Right. And so I remember leaving there after I cried very hard. And she asked me if I'd come back, and I said I would. And I left, and I'm screaming out my car window, God, why? Why, Justin? You know, why did you pick him? Why didn't you take me? Why didn't you make me, you know, if I did something wrong, why are you taking him? And blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't know what any of this means. And I heard the words, Carol, just be kind.
What were the words?
Just be kind. That's what I heard. And I said to myself, that's my purpose, is just to be kind. That's it. That's all I got to do. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm kind. You know, I'm a pretty nice person. I compliment people. I volunteer, you know. And so he said, just be kind. Or that's what I heard. And I remember right when that happened with the grand jury, and then it all sort of rushed back and hit me that I needed to be kind to everyone, including myself. And I wasn't being kind to myself, and I wasn't being kind to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't living the life that I had always lived before. Mm-hmm. And so in doing so, that made me feel I needed to be kind to Hope, and I needed to take all this energy, all this negativity, all this rage, all this rawness, and turn it into something forgiving and loving and caring and giving. And so I didn't know how that was going to happen, but over those next few years, I spent a lot of time, learning and paying it forward and helping and giving. And then when COVID hit in 2020, I thought, oh my gosh, imagine grieving in the midst of this pandemic. So I couldn't imagine what I went through with Justin on top of that with the pandemic and numbers of people are dying on TV and people can't see their loved ones at the hospital. And that was one of the things, like, I didn't get to say goodbye to Justin. And I thought, oh my gosh, what can I do? What can I do? And so Grief to Hope, my support group, was born in June of 2020.
Wow. Wow. I was talking to a trauma counselor recently, and Hope, she said that she knew that one of her patients, a patient had turned a corner when she knew they were going to be okay when they started ministering to others, when they started encouraging someone else. And that's exactly what you did. You said, okay, I'm good. You know, God doesn't waste anything, including our pain. And he right. uses our pain as a springboard for ministry, which you are exhibit A of that theology, that God can use our pain as a ministry. So let's talk about Grief to Hope for a minute. It's the word grief. It's the number 2, the digit 2, and then Hope.
Yes.
because you take people on this journey and they're beginning in one of the stages of grief, but your goal is to help them live in a place of hope, even though they've had this very painful experience. So how do you do that? How do you do that?
So it's a beautiful thing. I asked God to give me the words, and they came to me like just rain. And I don't know. And still to this day, you know, I pray every day, and I say, God, please give me the words. And before Grief to Hope sessions, I said, give me the words. But the program was developed as a virtual support group. It's completely free. What I do is I take 7 weeks. I open it up to anyone that's grieving or anybody that's supporting grief. And it's completely free. And we meet for 1 hour. And in that 7 weeks, I start first with an introduction, which is basically what I did here, telling my story, my why, my meaning, why I'm doing what I'm doing, why you should even, you know, pay attention to anything I have to say. And then the next 5 weeks, we spell out the word grief. Mm-hmm. And G is gift of time. So how has time helped? How has time not helped? How has your grief changed over time? And then we go to R, receive help. How do you receive help? How do you, you know, ask for help? How do you, you know, if nobody offers, what do you do? So we have those main topics. I is for inspire, which people are like, what does that have to do with grief? And I tell everyone, inspiration is the reason why you get out of bed. Mm-hmm. And without that inspiration, that getting out of bed is even harder. So you have to find out what that inspiration is, and whether it's my kids, my spouse, my job, my honoring my loved one, writing a book, whatever it may be. And then we do E is for expectations. What do people expect from us? And what do we expect from other people? Because a lot of times I expect you to act a different way towards me because I'm grieving. And when you don't, I have feelings about that. So we have to get through those as well. And like, you know, what people expect, hurry up, move on, get back to you kind of thing. And then F is feel everything, which is my favorite session. We do sort of like a show and tell. You bring your pictures, your memories, great stories. What do you miss about your loved one? It's just saying their name, I think is super, super powerful. And then the last session is to hope. What's your next step? What do you want to do? And I want to take all of what they've learned with the introduction and the words and the word grief and their inspiration to get to a point where they want to take a next step. Mm. Now, it may not be write a book, or, you know, it may be something as simple as I want to go through their things. I want to go to the grave and not have, you know, to get out of the car, to actually go up to their headstone. It may be just those small steps that's constantly moving forward. And then we break, and then we'll come back in another 7 weeks. And you can join as often as you want. I'm in my 7th group setting now, currently. So that's what Grief to Hope is all about.
So the people who are in Grief to Hope, are all of them grieving a death, or are some of them maybe grieving something else?
I would love for additional people to be grieving, like if they have a divorce or a job or something like that. But currently, all we have right now is people that are grieving their spouses. Now, there's no levels. We have a very big thing about respect. Like, you may be having a harder time with mom passing away, even though she lived a complete life, versus my son who died of a tragic death, whether it's, you know, there's no levels of grief. And we have people where it's been 13 years, people that it's been 13 weeks. Mm-hmm. So there's all different levels.
Mm-hmm. We'll continue with Hope's story in just a minute. But first, I wanted to take some time to tell you one of the many, many things that's happening at Carol McLeod Ministries. I want to invite you actually to travel through time with me to join the world in ancient Egypt as we look at the life of Joseph of the Old Testament. I've written a new Bible study titled Meanwhile, And this Bible study looks not only at the life of Joseph of the Old Testament, but it will also help you with all your meanwhile seasons in life. When Joseph was in the meanwhile, he discovered the presence of the Lord. He continued to live with excellence and with a visible faith. How do you live when your world has fallen apart? This Bible study that I've written is not just a book, but you can also purchase an 8 teaching video series to go with it, as well as a leader's guide. I hope that you'll consider using Meanwhile in your women's group at church, maybe in a Sunday school class, in a small group, or hey, just invite a bunch of girlfriends into your home and study Joseph for 8 weeks. I can guarantee you that by studying the life of Joseph, you'll become stronger. You'll become more powerful, because God always meets us when we study scripture together. If you'd like more information about this Bible study, Meanwhile, you can go to my website, which is carolmcleodministries.com, or you can go to my publisher's website, which is ironstreammedia.com. But now let's rejoin Hope Rieger as she shares with us her hope in spite of a broken heart. Okay, so we're going to do a feel everything with you right now. You said that was your favorite session. So I want you to tell us, what kind of little boy was Justin? Did he like frogs or baseball? Did he like pancakes or grilled cheese? Like, just tell us about this incredible little boy that you raised.
First of all, you gave me goosebumps just by saying that. I love talking about my son. Justin was he feared nothing, absolutely nothing. He was an outdoor kid, he was the littlest, scrawniest kid on the football, but his coach would say he's the hardest hitter. He literally could spend hours fishing, riding his ATV, just being outdoors. He was never a big TV watcher, but what I miss the most, and I tell this, is his beautiful smile and his sense of humor. I could be so mad at him, Carol, for something he did. He was rotten, but he would make me laugh like that. And I truly miss every ounce of his sense of humor.
He sounds like a precious little boy. Just precious.
He was.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to be his mom. You still are his mom, I guess. Yeah.
Yes.
So one
I was lucky enough for 19 years.
Yeah. One thing we talked about was the way you frame this when you tell people about it, that you have two sons. One is 32 and one will be forever 19. And Hope, I love that. I think that's a healthy, powerful way to tell your story without telling your story. How did you come up with that?
Great question. So we talked so much about this with the Grief to Hope, like how do you handle certain circumstances, especially we have an open discussion. So people bring, and some of the questions have been, I don't know what to say when people ask me if I'm married or how many kids I have, or, you know, are you divorced? Are you widowed? What, you know? And so I said, we have so much anxiety over this question that, you know, the person that's asking is simply asking, how many kids you have? And we look at them with like deer in the headlights, like, I don't know if I should say two or one, or if I have to go, if I say one or if I say two, do I have to go into the story? And, you know, there's a lot of anxiety off that little bitty question. And so one of the greatest things we've talked about is when it comes to children, is just to say, you know, I have two kids and Brian is 32 and Justin will be forever 19. And if they feel comfortable asking me about it, then it's completely up to them. Same thing with marriage. Yeah, you know, I've been, you know, married to my husband X number of years. He recently passed or something to that effect. But the worst thing you can do, I think what we've uncovered is the guilt of sort of not mentioning them, because then that's a whole nother feeling of, well, I don't want him to not feel that it's not important, that like I have one son living, you know, I don't want the other son to feel, you know, you go through all that mind play. So we've really said, just be honest and let them know exactly how you feel and you know, what that means.
So help coach us a little bit, because this is sticky. When someone has a loved one who's just stepped from time into eternity, some people say it differently. They've passed away. They've died. Whatever, we lost this person. I sort of don't like that, because I don't feel like you lose them. But that's just me personally. Mm-hmm. But help us respond appropriately in a caring, compassionate way to someone who's going through a grief situation like that. Like, what should we say and what shouldn't we say?
I love that. So one of the things that we've talked about with Grace Jehovah is receiving help. And a lot of times people will say, even at the funeral, or they'll call you and they'll say, if you need anything, let me know. I'm going through the worst experience in my life. I don't think I'll ever call you or know what the heck I need help with. So one of the things that we talked about is, during that time, find that trusted person in your life, whether it's your best friend, your sister, your mother, your pastor, whoever, and say, if somebody asks me if they can help, can I tell you what I need? And maybe it's, you know, that trusted person. If somebody could watch the dog, or if somebody could take the dog or take the kids, take them to school, mow my grass, have that trusted person build that group up. So you don't have to answer that dreaded question, how can I help? Or if you need anything, just ask. It's you've developed that relationship with that trusted person to say, you know, Carol, what do you need help with? What can I help you with? And you can literally say, you know, Angie, my best friend, has all the list of everything I need. If you want to reach out to her, and if there's something you guys can work out, that would be spectacular. One, that person who really desperately wants to help, because all of us do. When someone, when they're grieving, you do want to help. And then the person that you've trusted can relieve some of their duties if they felt they were taking on. They could say, hey, if you could mow their grass, that would be great on Tuesdays and Thursdays, whatever it may be. So receiving help is probably the hardest thing to do. And the thing that we do is we just leave that blank slate. We just say, how can I help? Or is there anything? If you need anything, just let me know. We've all done it. I've done it. I caught myself just last year. I had a friend of ours had lost her husband. I said, if you need anything, just call me. And then after I left there, I had to go back and say, no, that's not what I meant. This is what I mean. And when you say to somebody that's grieving, you tell them not they're in a better place or you know, whatever, because right then and there, they don't feel that way. Is to listen first, talk second. Mm. And do exactly what you just did. Say, you know, I know this is really hard and I have no idea what you're going through. Because most people don't. Nobody knew what I was going through. Nobody I knew what I was going through, what I was feeling. Mm-hmm. But I'm ready to hear about Justin. I'm ready for you to talk about Justin. I'm ready to be here. And if you just want to sit, we will sit. And if you just want me to hang out, clean your house, do whatever, I'll do that too. But the most important thing is to just say, I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm willing to listen. And that's usually all it takes. Mm. And it's just as simple as that. And, you know, of course there's the meals and those things are awesome. And I was lucky enough to have tons of family and friends that really just stepped up to the plate, but nobody knew what I was going through. Mm-mm. And it got to be a point where nobody wanted you to talk about it. Mm-hmm. That's another thing I learned, and that was with the group, is that nobody wants me to talk about how horrible I feel, how horrible it is, or Justin in general, because that made them upset. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so being around a group of people that just provides that understanding, It's huge.
Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing that. That's so good. I'm never going to say it again. If you need anything, let me know. I'm going to say, what do you need?
Right.
Or tell me what you need and I'll tell everybody else what you need.
Exactly. Or come up with a plan. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, you know what? Everybody's going to be asking you, Carol, what you need. So let's come up with something together so you don't have to deal with that.
Yeah.
And that, it's as easy as that.
So practical. Thank you, Hope.
Yeah.
Well, you know, obviously you are the woman you are today for many, many different reasons. But one thing we do on this Significant Women podcast, Hope, is we talk about the women who've been important to us over the years, the women who've impacted our lives. Maybe it's a heroine. Maybe you've never met her. Maybe she was your second grade teacher. But tell us, what other women have deeply impacted the life of Hope Rieger?
So, wow. To answer that question, I think the first person that pops in my head is I had a boss. She retired, and I'll call her Miss Cheryl. And this woman had a tragic death. Her grandson had passed away tragically. And I remember just thinking, you know, how hard that would be and how, you know, incredibly hard. And this, of course, happened before Justin. And then she lost her husband after Justin. Then she had cancer. I believe it was breast cancer, And this whole time, Carol, this woman did nothing but create positivity, paid it forward, did things for others, lifted people up. And just a genuine, kind person that I'm lucky enough to still know to this day and spend time with.
I love that. You know, the atmosphere you bring into a room or into a relationship matters. And it sounds like this woman, she brought the atmosphere with her. She was an atmosphere-changing woman. And that's who I want to be. You know, when I walk into a room, I want to bring joy and hope and peace into a situation. So
absolutely.
Thank you for reminding us of that power that we have, even in our humanity, to walk in and change the atmosphere. That's right. Hope, you're beautiful. Amazing. You are stunning. Yeah. What I wish, we're going to talk again someday. I just know we are. You've got so much to give people who have a broken heart. And I'm sorry you had to have a broken heart. Hope, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry you feel like the legal system let you down. I'm so sorry about that. But I'm so blessed by your decision, by your resolve to live fully in honor of Justin. So thank you. Thank you. So now what we're going to do, Hope, is play a game that we always play at the end called A Few of My Favorite Things. And I'm just going to call out some categories. And if you don't want, if you can't think of something, just say pass and we'll go to the next one. It's fine. So first of all, what's your favorite way to rejuvenate?
I worked out a lot. Mm-hmm. Listening to motivational tapes. Mm-hmm. I do listen to not tapes, but podcast. I listen to a lot of motivational speeches. Those are probably my top.
Do you have a favorite podcast?
I don't know as much as podcasts as I'm really, besides yours. I had to put that in. Love it. I am a big Steve Harvey fan. I love listening to Steve Harvey's motivational speakers. I also like, I can't think of his name, Coach somebody. But yeah, it gets me going when I'm exercising and working out.
Good. That's awesome. Okay. Now I know you can answer this one. I know you, your favorite dessert.
Right. Crumble cookie, anything. Have you heard of crumble cookie?
I just discovered them last week. What? Let's go. I can be there in 10 minutes. Can you meet me there?
Yes. Those things are, they're amazing.
I know.
And I love every one of them. So yeah, my favorite one I think is the peanut butter something, peanut butter chocolatey kind of thing. But yeah, crumble cookies.
Yeah, they're so good. Okay, your favorite vacation spot?
Hawaii, of course, where we got married. It was our first time there. We actually went to the island of Kauai, which is just like a vacation. It's like low-key, non-touristy. It's beautiful. They have a lot of chickens there. It was the weirdest thing. Like, I wasn't expecting all these chickens.
Oh. And okay, one last favorite. Your favorite holiday.
You know, I think it would have to be Mother's Day.
Really?
I think Mother's Day, because it's really something that's precious to me. Mm-hmm. And even though I don't have Justin to celebrate it with, I always feel his presence around Mother's Day. And so for me, it's Mother's Day.
Hope, that was a very brave choice to say Mother's Day, because a lot of grieving moms, it's a hard day. So thank you for saying that. Thank you for saying that. I love it. I love your heart. Well, Hope, before we go, would you just pray a quick prayer, especially over those moms who are grieving today?
Absolutely. So Father in heaven, thank you for providing me the words to hopefully have an impact to all that's listening. Please ensure and guide each person to their purpose, their special gift, and the hope that they have to live within it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Hope, that was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with me today. Bless you.
It's been a pleasure.
I'm always amazed by stories like Hope's story. Even though she's walked through days of deep grief, she's now encouraging others with the hope that she's found. Thank you for joining me this week on the Significant Women podcast. I don't know where you listen, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, but wherever you listen, it would mean the world to us if you'd leave just a few words of encouragement, sharing how this particular episode encouraged your heart. And now in closing, I want to speak to you who are listening. Life is hard, isn't it? And sometimes we allow the hard days of life to deceive us into thinking that we're not significant, that we don't mean anything to anybody. But nothing could be further than the truth. Every person in the Bible that God used in a significant way was a man or a woman who went through deep pain. So I want to remind you are not significant because of your circumstances, because of your education, because of your address, or because of your bank account. You are significant because of the one who made you. You, my friend, are significant.